Okay, it is Saturday, January 11th, 2025. It's 2:36 p.m. and I'm en route home after doing some errands here on the Big Island of Hawaii. Just a few things. One is I had less than half of my Costco latte, which is good. Part of it is because I bought yogurt at Island Naturals health food store, so I had some sugar in me from that. And honestly, the feeling that, you know, just drinking that probably corn syrup and refined sugar and probably some artificial flavors and colors, whatever goes into that thing at Costco, I'm sure is overall not good for me. So I'm happy to have avoided at least half of its payload. Just a couple of things. So this ongoing symptoms of a negative, hostile consciousness under the control of a human person running roughshod through my subtle nervous system with the blessing of God. It's a bummer in many ways, giant distraction in many ways, an accelerant to aging, a spike in growingly problematic blood pressure, which I think was like 148 over 85 today at the Walmart. They had a free booth for blood pressure. I went ahead and did it with the caveat that I would be under no obligation to sign up for their COVID or flu vaccines. Anyway, so, you know, you don't want to have, you know, no spiritual aspirant, no person that wants, peace of mind and heart and circulatory system. You don't want to have a 148 over 85. At least my resting pulse was 54, which is, you know, not the 40s or lower than that that I would frequently hit many years ago when I was... Anyways, at different times in my life when I've been particularly healthy, I should be at like 110 over 70, 75, something like that. I've been in, I think, 100, low 100s over in the 60s, I think, before. So what's a couple things I can point to? So that's what this entry is today, is a few symptoms, if I can remember them, just today. So in the last 3 or 4 days, maybe since Tuesday-ish, I've had decreased, in some regards, a decreased interference. Still the ongoing connection and manipulation at night, but not with such feverish intensity that normally attends to this phenomena. And so it was, I've been feeling, oh, you can't say free, no, but a little more light. And so happily, I've been able to, or I've been forcing myself, maybe 20 minutes or so, well, more than that, 45 minutes before sunrise. But, you know, you get the light from the rising sun, I don't know, 30 minutes or more before official sunrise. So that, so I was out in the dark for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, pitch black. And then it was slowly getting lighter. And I've been doing that on my days off more recently. And it's been a godsend for me to have an elevated physical state. in the morning, going into the midday, going into the early afternoon. It's been fabulous. And so today, I would say part of the effects was sort of a sense of being high in my mind. Maybe there was some mild endorphins. I had some a carrot, bean, yam, broccoli soup with a ton of kind of hot sauce, red pepper, jalapeno pepper sauces and powders in it. And so I had a couple bowls of that, and so I was just feeling really good. And I mean, it felt like, you know, after my hike, I did that about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. And so I was just in this space where my mind was not as, not feeling so constrained or monitored or, you know, whatever the word is, you know, attacked during the day. Or at least for these few hours this morning. And then I got in the car, you know, maybe 10-ish, 10 o'clock in the morning to go do what I'm doing. And just, I think it was listening to some music. And, you know, God bless music. Thank you for those vibrations that are carried through the ethers to hit your eardrums and your body. You know, and apparently in a vacuum, there's no sound in a vacuum. Rockets have no propulsion in a vacuum. You know, so this notion of outer space travel is just a fucking farce. You know, unless there's some other means of travel that I've heard of. I'm not sure how valid they are. You know, something with Mercury and spinning it in such a way that it creates a kind of a sphere where certain laws of physics don't apply. I don't know how that, you know, whatever. If that's the case, then that's the case. But, so I was in this, kind of a, about as unfettered as I have been in several months, just on a level of consciousness in my head. And then that space lasted for like an hour or two. And I then, listening to some music, I just thought about the music, because I have it on a playlist that all of my R&B, rock and roll, rap, bluegrass, country, Latin, whatever it is I've got, cutting across those genres, I have something called Love, which is basically any music that elicits a sense of love and connection. Because everyone across, you know, across those genres and groups of people, countries, what have you, you know, everyone aspires to and has that sense of love. And so you do find that in their music. And so I've got, I don't know, 23,000 songs on shuffle on my, I still have this ancient device called an iPod. And so I've got this iPod Touch from probably more than 10 years ago. Or something like that. I've got that playing, you know, the music in the car. Side note, I have everything hard. You know, I've got real files that I own that are on this device. And, you know, that I either created or downloaded. And I have it so that I don't need to be reliant on wireless technology for my portable music. And so I have most of my music in that genre of love there on the iPod, or at least a lot of it. And so I'm just sensing and contemplating and visualizing this aspirational human being that we are all meant to be. That is, we're not supposed to be encrusted with pain, shame, trauma, rejection, fear, all these things that can come to plague us, and they certainly present themselves on occasion, and we don't want to let them have the upper hand. We want to see that there is a divinity and a peace and a power beyond or at the base of all of those difficult feelings and awarenesses. And so I was just thinking of people expressing love and having a place where achieving a place, creating a space where the desire for love and healing and overcoming has the upper hand, and that creates an invocation to grace, to the Holy Spirit, that you're a supplicant, an aspirant, a spiritually oriented being that is requesting the opening, the igniting of a higher functioning in you, so that you can become connected to, conscious of, the Holy Spirit, the subtle, etheric, spiritual, fundamental, or firmament of creation. That place, that quality, that quantity that leaves the physical body when you die. You just, in my opinion, you are taken up again by that oneness when you pass away. And I have no personal corroboration that anything but your spirit goes back to spirit, you know. So these notions of karmas and reincarnations, etc. I don't know. I don't really buy it. But you got, you know, can 100 billion people be wrong? You know, probably not. You know, there have been some very, very wise people in the past who have, I guess, ferreted out some of these truths. I don't see a need for it. Doesn't make sense to me, you know, that some individual spirit can be, you know, be one with the cosmos, and then, you know, a piece of it with a particular subtle imprint can then connect to re-enter or enter that egg and sperm when they're created. You know, my sense is that whatever karmas are associated with the spark, I mean, I believe the spark of life is divine and is transcendent and is without karma, and so that whatever that organism does reflect is really based on your physiologic and the psychological, experiences, etc., that occur along with your upbringing, you know, the nature and nurture thing. But I don't know. What do you have? Tibetan masters who I forget what tradition. You know, some tradition that the Dalai Lama. You know, apparently they can. They know the toys or whatever, the artifacts of the past Dalai Lama, and yada yada. I don't know. I'm sorry. I view it as somewhat, you know, hokum and villager, archaic, wishful thinking, but maybe it's all true. I don't know. Anyways, so I'm just feeling, I'm crying. I'm not crying radically, but I'm crying more than I've cried in a few months. And I'm feeling good from the crying, because it's good to cry. And it's crying because of the sadness and the joy that are associated with this sense of unification and the perceived separation that the bulk of creation is experiencing. I've heard that the plant kingdom is a separate category. They're in many ways in a state of oneness, but it's a different kind of a oneness. I don't really know how to describe all that, but like, there's a reason why we get high from trees and from, we feel a sense of connection and goodness when we're barefoot in the soil and, or at least working our hands in the soil as a farmer or as a gardener, that the plant kingdom is a special, I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, there is sort of a wholeness there that is different than what mammals and the animal kingdom experience or are capable of experiencing, in particular human beings. So I'm crying, and it was far lesser a cry than I did, say, back in 1985, October, when I'm crying and just, you know, the heaves and the face turning red and just the pressure in the chest and the torso and the face as you're just, the tears are streaming and, you know, you're just sweating and crying and, I don't know, if maybe you're sweating, I don't remember. But it's just effortful and you hit a nerve and you're just bawling that I was doing prior to my initial Kundalini awakening. I do believe that it was the capacity for intense emotional prayer, really, which is what that was, a prayer, a supplication of an emotional nature. But there was an intellectual component too. It was the lack of wholeness and spiritual fulfillment that I felt trapped by and limited by, which drove the crying. And God, the Holy Spirit, saw fit to give me a chance, you know. You know, it's what you do with it. You know, that's on you. You know, do you guide it? Do you listen to the intuition, the wisdom, the guidance that you are given once that initial tap has been made and awakening? You know, there's a lot more that transpires. You have to continue to demonstrate worthiness. You know, it's a constant ebb and flow. And, you know, we're in the world of karma down here, or in these bodies, and it's a blessing and you could say a curse, but I'm going to say it's mostly a blessing. Because this is the, I don't want to go all these rabbit holes, all these different things to discuss. So I'm crying, and as that's happening, maybe 5 or 10 minutes into it, for the first time since the night before, I'm feeling this energy out of my shoulder connect through my biceps and my elbow and my forearm on my left side and push down into my right middle fingers, middle knuckle. So it's the second knuckle going down. So it's the where you bend your finger in the middle of the finger. That's that knuckle. And energy got to that, and it didn't go farther. And I kind of shook my fingers and tried to massage them a bit, and my joints were popping in my fingers, which they never do, except that in the last month or so, or a little bit more, I've had increased takeover of my upper extremities, being able to bring a loss of energy to my the joints, to my fingers, to my hands, especially when I'm sleeping. That is when the succubus, when this this genius of the subconscious or the unconscious mind, of the unconscious energy that animates us, it's only unconscious because you're not connected to it on a conscious level. So that's where all the power comes from, is when you are then on a conscious level, you are seeing and intuiting and harnessing and amplifying all this tremendous chi, or what's the Vedic term, prana, this etheric energy, this spirit. But that's what the succubus, this the profound woman that God's created, is a master of, a genius with. Maybe not entirely intellectually certain or capable of, describing all of this stuff. I don't think that that's the case. That's my intuition. They live it. They're breathing expressions of it, but I don't know how much of a cognitive component there is to their presence, to their realization, or to their manifestation of this spiritual intelligence. It's more of a physiologic and emotional presence that they are masters of. And so why does she do that? I believe that she I've been praying that this girl, I think she's 20 years old now, is having to work more, or I'm begging her to have her nights be devoted to someone else. I think she's been chased, for the most part, in the last 4 years. When I moved to Hawaii, it was shortly after that she called it quits with her boyfriend. That opened her up. Cut her teeth on, so to speak, and was liberated to the next step of her development by and through. But she couldn't hold down him and me at the same time. I was pulling away. That was clear to her, and showed, hey, I don't think she's had, I think she might have had sex once since then. I don't really know. I can't say for sure, but I think I remember one time where there was a lack of connection, or a reduced connection, that persisted for a few weeks. And I think it was the consequence of something she did. But she clawed back in because I wasn't doing enough tapas, enough austerities, etc. I would really like to be retired right now, because a lot of these mornings I'd love to wake up and just do an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes of a hiking, and just, cause an up in my energy level that makes the whole day much more worthwhile, energetically, and I'm just, my body has been re-infused with positive stuff, after having been marauded and, what's the word for it? You know, what is it called when you, not sacrilege, but, you know, when a shrine has been defaced or, you know, graffiti on the Holy of Holies, you know, that's what's going on each night for me. And so I wake up weak and in pain, my joints and everything, you know. It's the worst at about maybe 11 o'clock at night or something like that, 10 or 11. She gives it a couple of hours for sure of pounding. At the very least, it's that first round of sleep from like, you know, 8 to 9 or from 9 to 10, something like that, that she just absolutely razor blades me, such that, you know, I got popping in a lot of my joints and just walking. My ankles are in pain, you know, shoulders are in pain, my biceps are weak, and it's just shuffling to get a drink of water and take a pee. And then it gets better, you know, by a few rounds of sleep after midnight. You know, I'm 70 or 80% recovered. And then by 4 a.m. or 3 a.m., whenever she wakes up, if I'm not fortunate, I'll get hit for a while, for a few hours. That has, in the past several months, 6 months, 8 months, it's made it very difficult for me to use my mornings productively for either schoolwork or for anything on my website, because she's over me, around me, surrounding me like a tourniquet, with this my subtle body being kind of consumed or entrapped or overshadowed by her own subtle energy that's either, you know, her own or it's my own energy that she's co-opted, but it's over me, you know, such that, you know, my eyes, my brain, etc., kind of can feel like daggers going into them, all the more so when I'm trying to do anything cognitively. You know, it's her great joy to shut down my mental functioning and my bodily functioning and every functioning within me that she has access to, which is pretty much everything. So what she was doing this morning, she had to establish, you know, my plea to God, because that's what that is. When you're crying and begging, praying for emotional healing and a psychic, let's say, renaissance or a psychic renewal or a psychic rebirth in this world, and awareness of God experienced by all, you know, pledging or offering your own body as a selfless vehicle for the enlightenment of others. If this is what you're doing, and the gods and succubus is, the succubus is in you, and is a party to or a witness to this, you know, she just can't let that stand. And so whatever she was up to, she was able to take 10 minutes and, you know, cause some pain and heat in a part of my body. And that was just to basically lay claim to this body. You know, just to let God know, hey, you know what? You know, you gave this body to me, God, and, you know, the body is still mine. You know, I don't care what this guy's brain is up to, or these, you know, these pathetic and contrived emotions that this guy's ginned up for himself. They're not real, or they pale in comparison to the mastery and the dominion that I have established within and around this man that you have given to me, because I have pledged myself to him, and who has unwarrantedly kicked my subtle body, my heightened, my higher functioning out of him, without due cause or without just cause. Or at least he has not earned the privilege of doing that because, well, her own thinking is, although I wasn't present, I know what went down. This guy failed your test, and therefore he's mine. He failed multiple tests. And so, God, remember that, and remember that I'm still in here, and that, a higher level proof or demonstration of mastery is the ability to go into your host's, your man's fingertips. And I just did that. Well, not to my fingertip, but certainly my joint of my, one of my fingers. Although she got my whole thumb last night. That was not typical, and I'm not happy about it. And so she just, it's just give and take. And so this is the karmic situation right now. And so as I am more free, I'm going to continue to cry and ask for divine intervention because I cannot get rid of her without help. And part of me, I think, very foolishly, I am hoping that she is so pressed upon in her immediate circumstances that she either needs to shack up with a guy, she needs to work longer hours for multiple jobs, the economy sucks, so go shoulder your burden like I have during the entirety of these fucking 5 years, coming up on 6 years this February. In 1 month, it'll be 6 years. And I've, apart from the month that I took off to go to, Australia and wherever to see if this sense of entrapment and a spiritual attack would be diminished elsewhere or be eliminated, I was hoping to go so far that that thread that connected us up, that connected us, would be severed. But all I could get was like a 1/12 of powerful an etheric connection. And that was in Perth, Australia. But no, it remained. That thread, which is a, I've come to accept as a some kind of a time-space transcending connection made possible through this particular spiritual whatever's connecting humans, if it's Amrit Nadi, whatever that is, it's a heart connection that is spiritual in nature. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what it is. We share a heart connection through the ethers, and it's Amrit Nadi writ large, and she's co-opted that, or at least is there blocking my sharing God in that space and being aware of God as God in that space, in that capacity. And so I'm hoping, against hope, that she isn't able to keep up with this ongoing need to frustrate me, or actually a requirement. Because the more free I feel, the more energy I have within me, the more I'm going to be able to self-actualize, to do or at least engage the spiritual house cleaning that's necessary, and at the very least get myself more fit and more aspirational such that God may take a second look at me. and say, you know what? Let's test him again. Let's go down in there. Let's amp this contest up. Let's give him the capacity to, you know, that knife, that cattle prod, whatever you want to call it, that he can then utilize to pierce the succubus and break her connection. And I don't believe I can do that without God's help. And as I've experienced before, I have to be absolutely an incredible aspirant, absolutely worthy of God's love and grace, you know, getting a 97%, 99%, you know, A-plus level performance in that test in order to have her waver and relinquish, because she has exceptional potential. She is, I believe, you know, as fit a succubus or a female spiritual companion, or what's the word for it? Consort, wife, as God is able to make. Yeah, I don't know. I can't compare, but I think she is the shit, and in her inverted form, all the more terrible and adversary. And but hey, with 148 on my was that systolic, whatever that high one is, you know, on my blood pressure, you know, she is definitely causing trauma that shouldn't be there given my diet. Although, you know, stress at work is never great, especially at the school I'm at and the way it's run. It's run like a boot camp. So that was it. That was so my spiritual supplications were met with a show of force on her part, a show of dominion. And so there, that's the karmic loop I am in, the karmic playground that I am playing in. That is far more simple when it's just you and God. A third party is in the mix, which is an exceptional blessing, but it is... it can be an exceptional curse on the other side of that. I am, you know, I've asked for that. And I have, and I... God help me, but I believe I've learned all I want to learn, all I need to learn from it, and I don't know that I'll be able to get out of it. And I definitely know that I need God's help. All right, so there's that. And here's another. And the reason why the last few days have been a little bit lighter, not at all awesome. Oh yeah, so let me see, in the intervening day, okay, I'll go to what occurred on Monday, I think. I'm going to say this was maybe Sunday night. I'm going to call it Sunday night. Sunday night, you know, let's say all day Sunday. Let's say all day Sunday, I'm under attack, and that night is brutal. My whole body is racked in pain most of the night. She doesn't really let up. I mean, it's like 5 a.m. Let me think here. I don't know which day it was. Okay, let me, because there's only a couple of main points in this, and so if I get a couple details wrong, it doesn't really matter. Basically, I'm going to say I had her full focus all day long, and about, what was going on here. I'm trying to think now. It's Tuesday, and I'm under attack. I didn't have a great night. I didn't have a great sleep the night before, and things are pretty bad most of the day on Tuesday. And there I am, lying down on my break. I take a 10-minute break. Have my feet up on a chair or a desk, and my butt is propped up under a little balloon cushion thing. It's for attention deficit or sensory, you know, kids who need sensory stimulation. So it's one of these little inflatable discs with knobs on it, little knobbies, and you sit on it. It goes on a chair. But I use it to prop up my butt a few inches off the floor with my feet elevated. And I'm there bringing my left leg down to my chest and feeling exceptional pain through my descending colon. That whole colon area, whatever it is, a part of your digestive system that your left knee and thigh will be pressing against when you bring it fully up to your chest, that your knee to your chest. And as I'm doing that, I'm kind of twisting and massaging, and I'm finding there's probably a 4-inch or 5-inch long area or length of my colon that this girl has infested with painful energy. And I contend this is not just mere constipation at all, that is actually, she's attacking my digestive functioning so that I'm not able to move feces, and she's able to sap whatever positive energy, whatever, you know, whatever psychic or subtle fruit lies in the bowel there that is reabsorbed by the body, you know, these digestive fluids, etc., everything that's pulled out of your feces before it exits your anus. There's just an amazing amount of life and hormonal digestive fluid in that mix. And you know, when the feces is hardened and made to pass the anus, and she's got, it's just trapped, locked, and by this pain, this conscious pain, and as I'm needing it, so I'm not only am I twisting, but I'm pressing my leg and my knee up to me, and then bringing my knee up, and then, you know, moving my leg around to kind of get my hamstrings and groin stretched as my left hand or right hand is pressing into the colon or the descending colon. And as I'm doing this, there is a shock within me at a vertebra behind my heart. And when that shock happens, it's like a dislocation of a vertebra, such that there is a shutoff of energy or within my spinal cord, or some whatever the energy flow through that area is, and or it requires. And when that happens, I my head starts to clear up, my thinking starts to clear, because I was having a damned time thinking. My head clears up, and quickly the pain in my descending colon lifts. And this persists through the night all the way until I don't know, 2 or 3 a.m. or maybe even the next morning for a few hours, until she stops molesting me, because she was moving energy around my body, trying to cause pain here and there, but her efforts were more muted that night, despite her best efforts. Normally, I'd have a lot more pain in me than I was experiencing. And here's what I believe. I believe that God determined that she had wanted to kill me, because there were a few shocks to my heart while I was doing the stretching, and at, you know, another time during the day, you know, an attempt to kind of like see if she could overwhelm my heart. And she does this every few weeks. And she hasn't been able to do it, you know, to cause a short circuiting and a death, or at least a departure of my spirit from this body. She has been unsuccessful in that effort. And so this was a Kundalini. I don't get many of them. They're few and far between, although I believe very strongly that this body deserves Kundalini's support far more often than I'm getting. And I think this is just the minimum necessary to spare me from being killed that night. I think she was going to go for it. And so, despite her being able to push energy into my feet, because I've also had tremendous pain in my feet when I go hiking, or even just standing. I had a training on Monday and my feet hurt like holy hell all day long. It was like neuropathy to the max. I mean, I know neuropathy is bad, but this comes and goes based on her movement within me, And if she drains my feet of energy and causes them to be suffused with this negative energy, she can cause tremendous pain down there. And so I had a hard time even walking around this location that we were being trained at. And that persisted all day long. I felt like shit. And it just continued that night. And then just my body, I just felt horrible that Tuesday. And it was Tuesday late morning, 11 o'clock-ish, I finally had a Kundalini manifestation that was a dislocation of my vertebra behind my heart, behind my thymus gland, which then caused roughly a 70% reduction in the energy available to her. And since that time on Tuesday late morning, going to maybe that evening sometime, I'm not sure when it really, when her efforts let up, I don't remember now, but I do remember that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and today, I have been relatively, I mean, I've been molested, but not with one half or tooth. It's only been about a third as bad as it usually is. And it's not because of a Kundalini manifestation in me now, because that pretty much, I would say, disappeared maybe Wednesday morning sometime. She just either realizes she's just not putting the effort into it. And so I don't know what she's going to do. I think God has told her, you know what, you can fuck with this guy, but you can't kill him. Not yet. He's been pretty darn virtuous. And honestly, you got lucky with this assignment. He's actually not a failed aspirant in many, many ways. His body does deserve illumination and grace, but for whatever reason, that's on hold right now. And so you can cause him a lot of pain, a lot of disruption, a lot of disharmony, but you can't separate his spirit from his body. No, you can't kill him. This body still has a residual blessing that defies your best efforts to ruin him. And so that's what I think is going on. And all I can hope for is, it's not all I can hope for, but I'm hoping that she drifts, she makes some mistakes. But her, I do believe a very vital part of her spiritual functioning is locked in a like irredeemable bloodlust for my death. And so it's not like she can, I mean, for her to fuck some other guy or to be like ignoring me and just feel that I am waxing in spiritual potential is absolutely unconscionable and incompatible and intolerable to her. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how much she can ignore my moving away from her dominion or somehow undermining it under her nose and causing these various perforations in the spiritual cloud that I'm living within, and a diminishment of her pain causing capacity within me. Because like my hike this morning was, I had an 80% reduction in the pain in my feet, and it was a blessing. And God only knows what would happen if I fast, but I've kind of been feeling, now I don't want this to be laziness gaining the upper hand, but I have been feeling that, thinking, rationalizing, but like I just don't want to fast. I don't. I want her to give up on me. You know, it's like, you know, you don't, do you ask for a succubus's permission to achieve a spiritual milestone? I mean, I really don't think so. I mean, you'd be waiting a long time, you know, longer than your body has years of life. But part of me would like it to, you know, I was even thinking today, is it possible that this is a test? I mean, everything's a test, but like, if a spiritual aspirant survives X number of years to such a point of spiritual diminishment or attack at the hands of a succubus, and that guy is still around, is it possible for the succubus to almost be forced to reorient or to accept another man in her life? I mean, how great is that need for a physical companion? And I'm hoping bills to be paid, etc., a home, a roof to be provided over her head. You know, if only her dad would kick her out, so she's forced to spend more of her time and energy, assuring her physical survival. But I'm just wondering, is that possible? Because that would be, in my opinion, I think it would be pretty cool that I could survive long enough that she gives up on the chase. But again, there's a part of her that's in me that she just can't ignore. It's there. Her identity, a giant chunk of her, her higher potential is lodged in me. And it's there in a perpetually wounded and angry state. But I don't know. You know, I don't really know. I mean, that's part of, you know, one of the reasons why I'm here still is I want to find out. I want to explore. I definitely chose, you call it the wrong path on this, in this particular thing, you know, rejecting Holy Spirit's help back in February of 2019 on account of the cell tower across the street. But I want to learn from it. And I kind of would like to learn that it's possible to have the succubus become weakened somehow, rather than my having to do a 10 or, God forbid, 20-day water fast in order to generate a spiritual response, a heightened one, that is enough to reject her. But as I think I've had notes I have on my website, I did that in the summer of 2022, and God showed up, Kundalini showed up on day two, or no, on day three, the beginning of my third day of fasting, and basically, I gave her the keys to my body and barely, you know, it didn't come back. I had a watered down spiritual healing response maybe on day 11 or 12, and it was only making use of the energy immediately available in my body, and it did not go after my heart at all. It was because I guess the heart is, that's the Holy Spirit's domain. And a spiritual healing can't heal in the heart without, especially with when it involves another human being, another created being, that is for the Holy Spirit to decide upon. But I am afraid. I'm fearful of revisiting that and finding that that heightened agency that is capable of giving me the power I need to reject her and to eliminate, to cut the cord that connects us. I'm afraid that either I'll fail or that God won't show up again. And I kind of want this girl to give up. And that is really a weak position to aspire to. It's definitely crumbs off the spiritual table. It is pathetic. You know, I want her to give up. I want her to fail. And that's not what you should want. You should want to triumph and overcome. You know, I don't know. And so we'll see what happens here, is all I'm saying. I've had a little bit of respite the last few days, and I'm thankful. Other things to report. That day, I think it was all morning, that Tuesday morning, before that shift occurred in my back, she had been attacking, and it maintained throughout the day, but a little bit less. She had been attacking both sides of my spine behind my heart. It was a dual, like right under your lats, your laterals, whatever they're called, your scapulas, the two scapula. It was an etheric pressure that was strong. It was pretty strong. And apparently, I didn't know if it was Kundalini or her. I didn't feel great. It just was there. But it was an overall, like, attack on my heart. And so the Kundalini response to short-circuit that effort was, I think, a response to impair her ability to overwhelm my heart. Because I think that's definitely, she was attempting to, a massive negative Reiki, a massive negative acupuncture, pressuring both sides of the spine in a large area, I would say three or four inches wide on both sides of my spine. It was big. And so I was surprised if that was her, but it was all the pressure she could mount from her subtle body around me, her subtle energy, plus whatever was going on the inside, and it happened to coincide with this major block on my colon. And so God came in, Kundalini came in and short-circuited that. And so, again, since Wednesday, I've been relatively free. And I don't know how long it'll last. And I didn't earn it through fasting. It was just a gift, because I believe my life was on the line. Anything else? No, I'll leave it there. You know, that's enough for now. I haven't been that coherent today, but I wanted to get this off my chest and, you know, give you another hour-long blathering of what I'm going through. I wish I had more traffic on YouTube, I mean, not YouTube, at my website, which is kundaliniandcelltowers.com. It's been what's showing up in my stats at, I think it's Dream, I know, HostGator. These stats are, I think they're probably fraudulent in many ways, but not giving me the information I used to get way back when I was with Earthlink, with an overpriced program 20 years ago. But it was Urchin 3 or something, and I was able to get all the real, like, locations or domain names of who was visiting me. If it was Department of Justice, Bank of America, you know, the military. I mean, you could see where all the crawlers were coming from. I mean, it was scary. You know, there's a giant deep state out there that's just dragging the... And you don't get any of those details now. And I was getting, back then, before Google became so manipulated, I was getting 500 search referrals a day, at least, around there. You know, keyword searches. They were all evident via Urchin 3 and what Earthlink was reporting, but you don't get that information now. But I'm getting like less than 1/500th of the traffic that I used to get. And so, you know, I'm like you call it the spiritual Emily Dickinson, you know, crying my blues and no one to hear me. And then probably someone someday after I croak, they'll, you know, rediscover this information, or people will find it okay to acknowledge me after I die, so there's no way I can change what I'm saying or, you know, have it appear that I'm doing this for some immediate egoic satisfaction, because I have no evidence. There's basically no evidence I'm getting any traffic at all. And certainly, you know, I used to get, I don't know, I'm say dozens, at least a few, you know, a handful of emails a week, you know, and now I'm getting them a handful of emails every 2 years. I mean, it's like maybe one or two a year. So that is another 1/500th of the traffic. And that's a reflection, and that is sort of an indicator of the foot traffic, or the traffic through my site, is how much email, how many inquiries I get, which are like next to nothing now. So it is what it is. I'm still going to do what I'm doing. And maybe when I retire, depends, but I may, I'm going to have a YouTube channel, I think. See if I can't produce more content. People like to look at someone and hear what they have to say, and maybe I can, you know, earn some money along the way, which certainly would be helpful. And given the economy, the state of our economy in the U.S. and the future of, you know, the gathering storm of inflation that will be descending upon all the world's fiat central bank controlled, private banking family controlled fiat currencies backed by nothing but the military war machine throughout the world. Those currencies are in the process of dying right now. And so whatever you can do to supplement your income will be helpful. So I'm looking at that as an option. That's it. Much love to you all, and may you discover and learn and achieve all those things that you aspire to, and may your purpose be a helpful one, and may it lead to a furthering of man's spiritual quest, and which involves the betterment of our material conditions, healing, and again, and improvement, and betterment of the foods and the medical practices and the energetic and electromagnetic circumstances that we all share. You know, whatever path you take, may it lead to an improvement for others, because that is one of God's tests for us. We need to be here for a greater purpose, and a purpose that includes others to go just as far or farther than what we've been able to achieve. The next generation needs to take the ball down the court, down the field, towards the goal, farther than we've been able to do. Therefore, we need to leave the breadcrumbs, the trails, the trail signs, the colored ribbons on trees marking the trail, you know, the blog posts on our journeys, you know, all these things hopefully will help future generations make sense of what we've done in their own circumstances, and incorporate the knowledge that we've achieved or that we've shared into their own lives, and do the same thing for the generations following them. And that's it. Good luck on your path. God bless you all. Aloha.